Grace to you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember one Sunday when I wished I had come to church late. The place where I worshiped celebrated the sharing of the peace before the service began, so if I came late, I wouldn't have to share the peace. Now, it's not that I don't like sharing the peace. It's okay. It's just that that morning when I came to the pew, the guy sitting next to me was picking his teeth. He didn't have a toothpick. He was using his hand, his right hand. It looked like his whole hand was shoved in his mouth digging out food. Now, I didn't have any hand sanitizer, and neither did he. I watched as he wiped his hands on his pants and politely swallowed whatever he dug out. And when time came to share the peace, I was wishing that I had come late. That Sunday, sharing the peace forced me to confront the messiness of being human in God's church. My messiness of phobias about saliva and touching someone else's saliva, and my neighbor's messiness of gaps between his teeth and an obviously substantial breakfast. I mean, wouldn't it be better, less messy, to just assume that we're all together in Christ? Why do we have to share the peace? Couldn't we just assume we're brothers and sisters in Christ and sit there in our pew and receive forgiveness from our Lord? It would be a lot easier. Not as messy. Our text this morning deals with the messiness of being human in God's church, particularly at the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul is reprimanding the Corinthians for how they practiced the Lord's Supper. Evidently, they were so celebrating the supper that they were forgetting about the Lord. As the Apostle Paul says, it is not, when you gather together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own supper. Some go hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses where you can eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? Paul's writing to the Corinthians who are gathering together in house churches, or as some scholars are now debating, perhaps publicly rented spaces. The place where they are gathering does not matter as much as the practice of how they are celebrating the Lord's Supper. Because the way they are celebrating the Lord's Supper, it looks a lot more like a meal in somebody's home than it does the table of the Lord. The social practices of supper were shaping their celebration. The social practices of having supper in one's home, where the honored would sit in a special place, be served with special food at a special time, and everyone else would gather together in an overflow area and perhaps be served different food, perhaps at a different time, if at all. And so one would go hungry and another would get drunk. And if you walked into that church, you could easily see who was honored and who was dishonored, who had and who did not have. And the Apostle Paul calls them out. And he calls them back to the Lord, to his table. Our Lord Jesus Christ humbles the proud, and he exalts the humble by offering one grace through him to one people in him. That's what's happening in our text. Now, I dare say when you hear a text like that among us today, it's somewhat easy to feel a little bit confident I mean, after all, it looks like we're actually getting it right. We've took Paul's advice and we're getting it right. I mean, when you come to the Lord's Supper in our churches, nobody gets drunk and everybody goes away hungry, right? I mean, we don't divide between the rich and the poor, the haves and the have-nots. Everybody eats at the same time, and everybody eats a limited amount for a limited time. And so it's pretty easy to feel like, okay, we got this one down, but I wonder if perhaps we've overcorrected. You see, for the Corinthians with the Lord's Supper, they were so emphasizing supper that it didn't look like it was the Lord's. I wonder if perhaps we so emphasize that it is the Lord's that it no longer looks like supper. When we gather to celebrate the Lord's Supper, it is obviously the Lord's. Christ comes in his body and blood and gives you his body and blood to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of your sins. And that is marvelous in our eyes. But does it look like supper? Is our Lord gathering us together at a common table to eat with one another as the family of Christ? I wonder if the Holy Spirit today is calling us home to have supper with our Lord and with one another. For the Corinthians, their social practices shaped the Lord's Supper, and so do ours. Only ours is not the social practices of a meal in a home. I would say ours is more like the practice of a drive-thru. You know how drive-thru works, right? You don't know the person in front of you. You don't know the person behind you. You simply drive through and you get your food. You come to the Lord's table, you don't know who's in front of you, you don't know who's behind you, you just come and you get your Jesus and you go. And drive-through works for individualized Americans who are time conscious. It works for us, but it doesn't work for God, and it shouldn't work for you. I remember one time when a drive-through didn't work the way it should. We had had a very long faculty meeting, and it was late in the day, and I was hungry, and I was angry. Hangry, I think they call it, right? And I didn't want to go to the store and buy food. I didn't want to go home and cook food. I just wanted food in my stomach, and I wanted to call it a day. So driving home, I went by Burger King. Now, when I drove in, unfortunately, the drive-thru was packed, and I don't want to sit there in line. I want my food, and I want to go. But I looked at the parking lot, and it didn't look like there were many cars in the parking lot, so I thought, I'm going to risk it, and I'm going to go in. So I went in. There was just one group of customers in front of me, one order. I didn't think it would be bad. It was a woman and three kids. How bad could that be? I didn't know. I didn't know how long it took three kids to place an order. I didn't know where there were that many choices on a Burger King menu. It took them forever, and I am hungry, and I want to eat. So they finally get the order placed. She goes, she pulls out her credit card, gives it to the cashier. He runs it, and it doesn't work, right? He says, the card doesn't work. Do you got another one? She says, no, I don't have another one. It should work. Just run it again. He runs it again. Doesn't work. Now she's going through her purse, trying to find money. It doesn't look like she's going to have enough money. And I am getting frustrated, right? So I say to the clerk, I say to the cashier, here, put it on my card. And she turns around. She says, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. I said, no, I want to do it. I said, I want to do it. If that were me, I'd like somebody would do that for me. That's not what I was thinking, but that's what I said, right? I just wanted food. So I said, yeah, just do it. And so she says, oh, well, thanks. And then she turns to the clerk, and then she turns around and she says to me, are you sure? And I, in my anger, said, you've just been joyed. Do you know what that means? There's a radio station, Joy 99.1 FM, Christian music. They have this thing where you pay for the person's meal behind you. You give them a note, you've just been joyed, a way to share the love of Christ. That's not what I was doing. I was taking the Lord's name in vain. That's what I was doing. I was angry and I wanted my food, and I sarcastically said, you've just been joyed. The Lord should have struck me dead right there. But you know what happened when I said that? All of a sudden, the floodgates opened. And she's like, Joy 99? I'm like, yeah. She's like, you're a Christian? I'm like, yeah. She says, well, so am I. And then all of a sudden, she's telling her kids about what it means to be joyed, and this is a sign from God, and all of this stuff. And then at the end of it, she's touching my arm and saying, you know what? You have to join us for dinner. I had taken the Lord's name in vain. Rather than striking me dead, do you know what he did? He used his name to open a table so I wouldn't eat alone. I'd eat with members of his family that night. If that's what the Lord does with his name, when somebody takes it in vain out in the world, imagine what he will do here in the church where he gives us his name and we call upon that name in sincerity and love. I can just hear Paul talking about our practices of communion. I can just hear him say, if that's what it is about, you coming forward, getting your forgiveness and going, well, then why don't you just build a drive-thru? Right? People can drive up and speak in the intercom, confess their sins, drive around and pick up their happy meal of forgiveness and go. But if you come together in the name of the Lord, well, it's going to be different. Because the Lord builds community in his name. One grace through him for one people in him. Yes, there is forgiveness for you, and that is marvelous. But our Lord also opens the lives of others to you after he's opened his life for you. Today, the Holy Spirit gathers us together as that community. By his word, our Lord forgives you your sin for his death and his resurrection. And by his Spirit, he now joins your life to one another. And it's messy. It's messy, but it is marvelous in his eyes. So at this point, the sermon's going to get a little messy. Okay? Because I'm going to ask you to not pretend you're sitting by yourself in a pew, but to actually share a prayer request with another person in this congregation. So I'd like you to think of a prayer request. Could be for you, could be for someone you know, for the church, for the world. One prayer request. How many have a prayer request? I don't see all hands up. Okay, good, good. Okay, now I'd like you to go to another person, one or two people, share your prayer request with them, and then listen, humbly listen, as they share a prayer request with you. And after that, we'll gather again for the sermon to finish. Okay. Have we all shared a prayer request and received one? Yeah. So, you've just been joyed. Our Lord has opened the life of someone to you, given you a prayer request to live with this day, perhaps this week. You know, I opened the sermon by talking about how I wished I had come late because of the messiness of shaking hands with somebody who was picking his teeth. Can you imagine how messy it would have been if I had actually treated him like a brother in Christ? Can you imagine how messy it would have been if I asked him what the burdens were that he was carrying and opened my life to him to help him carry them? Imagine how messy that would be, but how marvelous in God's eyes. If I were to do that Sunday after Sunday, I dare say I might start coming to church early and staying late to partake in the family of God. Amen.